Now, a week is a long time during May in Brighton. We have mentioned this before, but we're going to touch on it again. It's an exhibition running throughout the festival at Fabrica. The Ghanaian artist Serge Atakwe-Clotty's large-scale installations are meticulously fashioned from discarded 20-litre yellow jerry cans. And Liz Whitehead, Fabrica director, describes the pieces as both very beautiful and politically charged. The exhibition opens up a conversation with the audience on how artists sustain themselves and their communities.
I think the first thing that they will notice is a room full of yellow, beautiful yellow. Atakwe's very kindly organised all his available works to be here in Brighton, both from America and from Ghana, so that we can really kind of fill the space with his work and create a very kind of immerse the audiences in the work itself. And I think the other wonderful thing is he's extremely happy for people to walk on the work that's on the floor and to touch the work that's on the walls. So I think it'd be a great kind of sensual experience for people. Also, I'm really interested because there's so much to say and learn about Atakwe's work that we then use that experience to take people through into some of the other kind of stories and things that there are to learn about his work.
Now, despite his growing international reputation, the artist continues to base himself and his studio in Labadi, a neighbourhood of the Ghanaian capital, Accra. At that base, Atakwe-Clotty has created an innovative and sustainable model for economic and social development, one that both employs local people and is in dialogue with them. Now, when I met with the artist earlier this month, he explained how he challenges assumptions around gender, for example, by himself and his male colleagues dressing in women's clothes when they collected disused jerry cans.
Gender played a very serious role in my work because of my family history of migration and also having to work with the community, because I have a collective about 100 and most of them are women, but in my studio assistants I have only men.
Is one seen as hierarchically higher than the other or just different roles? Is it male roles and female roles or more important roles and less important?
They are both important roles, but based on the process that it's kind of limited to women, because of the tools and the machines that we use. But when it comes to the weaving or stitching, it's very easy for women to do that. And I'm looking forward to work with more women.
And did you get known as the man who went round in women's clothes ever?
Yeah, I've been very known of that, and I think that it has really brought a lot of attention to think about gender in a very broader way and a very understanding, because back home in our tradition, there are some of the traditional rules that men are not supposed to wear women's clothes. There are family houses where women are not allowed to go there at some point of the year or at some point of the day. And I mean, now we are in a contemporary space and most of this tradition is affecting our life because of modernity, so I'm in question that as an artist, I feel like I use myself as an object or as a subject, and I take the risk, to be able to address that by using myself, because I think that I've actually gained the recognition, and whenever I speak about subjects, it's been discussed and it has all the response, and I get articles where people read and they understand. So for me, there are a few performances that we have done that is based on gender, and it started with tradition questioning human rights, because human rights is equality. But in our tradition, when your mother or your mom died, her wardrobe is locked up for a year, and after a year her belongings are given to children. But because I'm the only child and I'm a son, I don't get any of my mom's belongings.
Oh, so it would be daughters, only the daughters would
daughters
get,
and
right.
Mom's siblings, so for me I felt like there was a disconnection between my mom, because my mom has played a very important role by collecting the gallons for me to work with, or even reaching out to his friends and schools and restaurants to collect them for me. So I thought there was a disconnection, So what I did was I went to my mom's siblings and I told them that I need my mom's clothes to do something. They had no idea what I'm using them for, but through social media articles and online platforms, they read about the performance and they felt very disappointed. They felt guilty at some point. So they had to call me, and they have to bring everything back, so it's been shared accordingly. So I got some of my mom's clothes, and I did another series called My Mother's Wardrobe Extension, where I have my mom's belongings that I've kept in my room to be able to connect. And I'm interested in fabric and how fabric has changed over time for traditional into contemporary, because there are very symbolic elements in fabric that has changed, and that is referenced to maybe a situation, is referenced to a landmark or a restaurant, reference to history of the country, you know. So, and I believe that during the performance, I was able to include the collective, which it took us a month and a half to convince them to understand that wearing your mom's clothes has nothing to do with sexuality. It's about representing man and how tradition questions human rights and how fabric has changed over time. You know, so based on that interaction, and they begin to understand, and they started wearing clothes, even their mom's clothes from the house. And I realized that most of them are going through the same situation, how tradition question human rights. So after the performance, it has really brought a lot of understanding, and it has really created kind of freedom, you know, and within the community. And I think for me, that's one of the biggest achievements that I've been able to brought to attention.
Serge Atikwe-Clotty there, talking about his work. There's so many layers in what he does to unravel. There really are, and I love his voice too.
It's great, yeah. And I really did like the exhibition at Fabrica, because you do have to know the backstory. It's one of those ones where I think you can't walk into it, because you see the chopped up jerry cans, and it looks like a kind of yellow brick road laid out, and you're kind of, what is going on here? So there is a blurb there, and I would strongly advise that you read the blurb, because like you say, it's got so many different layers, it's got so many different contexts to it, of these jerry cans, which are taken into Ghana from the West, sold to the Ghanaians, filled with oil, then used like really kind of toxically as drinking containers. And then he creates them into an artwork, which he brings into the West, and people buy it and pay him for it, and then that money goes back to Ghana. So this kind of two-way flow of trade, it's just asking these questions about that two-way flow.
And it's also art acting for an environmental gain as well, because yeah. What's happened is, instead of people just literally chucking jerry cans into the oceans, they turn up wherever, they are going around and finding them now, and the price that Serge has to pay for a jerry can has gone up about fourfold since he started doing this, because people recognise he's making money. Yeah. He has no problem with that, because he's making money and it's going back into his community. It's fabulous. And it's at Fabrica. So do, you know, read the blurb around as you consider that you're part of this journey of making things better for a community in Ghana. And it's free, and it runs right through to the 26th of May. And I believe Fabrica's open every day, isn't it?
Let's have a look. I've just have a quick rummage of the programme, current affairs. Open every day. It's from Wednesday to Saturday is 1 to 6, and Sundays are 2 to 6 p.m.